Okay. I've never been there, but I was reading about the Fleabag Hotel, and it doesn't look like it's going to be closing soon.
Well, yeah, they've been talking about it. They keep renewing talks about it, but I think when something like that closes, it's going to close suddenly, and they're not going to give the public any notice, otherwise people won't book in there, so it'll probably occur quite quickly. But the way things go in this town, it could take years, it could take a week. It's totally unpredictable when it comes to real estate and that sort of stuff in Vancouver.
Well, if I do book that, you know, I won't lose money anyway, because it'll be, you know, booking it on a reputable booking site, but could cause an inconvenience. But I think it's going to be around for, some number of months, at least maybe a year or something.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Yeah, if you book through a third party with a refund policy, that'll protect you. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Anyway, I should take a look at that Florida Hamfest thing and see if that Comdrot CJ1 appears there again. It's a device. You know that message David sent the other day about the Android phone, the chunky Android phone that has the dual band transceiver in it. Well, there was one Comdrot one a few years ago that they introduced that Hamcation from Florida. Some people bought it, whatever, and they've kind of disappeared, so I wonder if that project is dead or what.
The 6MPBA 7BC. Well, is that the one that was an Android phone that it would give you, say you moved to a new city from your base city, it would sync and list all the DMR repeaters in that city, and you could get right on the air?
Basically, yeah, there was that one, and then the RF, you could just load all the information. It took it from repeater book, I think, and some another source as well. And it looked pretty cool, but it was very buggy. So I don't know what happened to it. There's no new information about it in quite some time. But if it actually worked, it would be quite a thing. But anyway, so this thing that David sent information on the other day is a similar sort of thing.
Okay, yeah, I understand. Well, HRCC commented on, I think it was the second one that you mentioned there, that it was essentially a paperweight. I presume that these things need a third-party server run by the people that sell the device that gives connection to the database and pushes the data to your radio. And if that company stops making the device or goes under, then that connection, that third party essentially internet or software connection doesn't exist and you've got a paperweight. So you just have to check that that's not an issue.
Yeah, you would lose that feature, the automatic update, but you can still program the radio. Like there's a CD program at all, but you just wouldn't get that automatic updating.
Okay, I think the whole idea with that radio was it was so cool because of the automatic update. That's why the price was relatively crazy high. So now if you can get one on the used market, it should be crazy low without that auto update.
Charo, it's still listed, but it is.
Yeah, they had a good path, but yeah, they just had to work the bugs out, which I don't know if they did. I was watching the open air swap meet on the HRCC channel this morning, and I saw some neat stuff. There were, I saw an L3 Harris handheld, an XL45 Papa. It does P25 and FM, UHF, VHF, 800 and 900 megahertz. It's rugged. $800 US. So, that's a pretty neat radio. Pretty pricey though. I saw a 706 Mark IIG, unknown if the filters were installed, for $600 US. And a few unusual things, like a Hendrix PFR3 for $150 US.
Well, the best buy down there to attend the event, and you might have to extra baggage fee on the way back.
Yeah, that's the dangerous part about going to one of those big contests. Yeah, I think I'll skip that.
Yeah. Well, there's a flea market in Calgary. I think it's April 11th or something like that. The cat show in Calgary is that weekend too. But I think I might be on the way to Vancouver at that time.
Oh no. That's double trouble there. You should stay for that.
Well, I haven't been to the cat show in Calgary for a few years now. I did go a couple years ago to one in Longview, Washington. And that was very nice. But that one is in the fall. So, you never know, maybe in the fall I will go there again.
Oh, okay, that's a heck of a journey. But I think they've got a DMR repeater there. Longview Baufau or something like that. They've got, Longview Kelso repeater. And it's on the PNW digital system, yeah. That's the only reason I know that location of that place. It's just north of the border on I-5, isn't it?
the A7BC V6.1 Tango. Yeah, it's in southern Washington, and, you know, it was, I didn't go out of my way at all. I was driving right past it because I was going to Oregon. So I just stayed, can't remember where I stayed, but I attended the cat show and then carried on to Oregon. Actually, you know what, that cat show I think is the Seattle Cat Club, I think. But they have it in Longview. So that was kind of odd. It's usually in the fall.
I'm guessing it's a whole lot cheaper having it in Longview than anything in Seattle. And people don't mind driving long distances. I know we were in Bellingham yesterday. People live in the Seattle area and they work in Bellingham.
Oh, that would be unpleasant driving on the I-5 every day. That'd be terrible. But anyway, I always look and see if there just happen to be any cat shows going on, you know, on the way or near to where I'm going. You know, I noticed this in Kyiv, in Ukraine. Like, every month they have a cat show, it seems. There's one this month, next month, in April. That's kind of odd.
No, that is odd. Let's see, Pop Cat Seattle 2026 Pacific Northwest Ultimate Cat Convention, Seattle Center Exhibition Hall, April 18 and 19, 2026, right? I think that's right downtown.
Oh, I'll have to look that one up. I didn't see that one. There's probably a few different clubs there, but it seems to me that one in Longview, it's the Seattle Cat Club or something, but they hold it in Longview. So, yeah, there's, I think the main one is TICA, T-I-C-A, and then there's another one, Cat Fanciers something or other. Which one is this one in Seattle you're talking about?
It's POP Cats. They've got a bunch of them there. There's another one, November 1st. No, that was last year. November 1st and 2nd. Sea Meow Convention. My goodness. Must be a lot of cat people in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, there's... there's cat shows all over the place. It's amazing. All over the world, all over the place. Well, I should look into that one in Seattle. Not that I like driving into Seattle. I very rarely drive, actually go into Seattle anymore. But I'll have to look that one up because if that's April 18th, I likely would be in the area around that time.
Yeah, check your signal. I just sent you two different links to two things. You'll see them.
Okay, thanks. Well, that's interesting. Coastal Cat Club. Yeah, the Cat Fanciers Association, yeah. In Longview, Washington. In June. June 20th. Interesting. Won't be there at that time. So that's a different one, because the one they have in the fall, I think, is the Seattle Cat Club. They probably are TICA, as opposed to CFA. And then that's very interesting. Thanks for sending that.
Yeah, we won't be attending. It would be the Anaphylaxis Club for my wife, so no.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's too bad. Well, cat shows are very, very different than dog shows, you know.
Well, I've never gone to a dog show. I wouldn't know what to expect.
Well, you know the dogs, they run.